where Jillian Harris goes, we will follow. It is week number 9, I think it is. Are we keeping score at home, girls? Is this week number 9?
It's episode 9.
That's correct.
Yeah. Reed's lucky number, baby. Anyway, we are in the wonderful state of Hawaii this week, as the Beach Boys were singing about in perfect 5-part harmony as we open up yet another discussion. It's that time of the week again, folks. Another episode of The Culture of Pop. We're doing a Bachelorette recap again here on the DVD Marquee. And with me, once again, are two ladies I am so happy to give lay necklaces to. Please say hello to my good friends Dina and Lisa from BeautyBrods.com. You know, I've been saying it wrong all these weeks, guys. You've been so sweet to not say anything. It's just BeautyBrods.com, right?
Yes. We always say www.beautybrods.com because if you just put in beautybrods.com, for some reason you get an error page. You have to type in the www. I don't know why.
Exactly. You know, please
it's like a curse.
Exactly. Do not forget that. But girls, happy Thursday as we're talking here.
Happy Thursday to you, Jeffrey.
Happy Thursday.
You guys, let me just brag on you guys to the audience right quick here. These guys are two of the sweetest people I have ever ran into in my travels in media. And just, you guys wouldn't believe how wonderful they've been to me behind the scenes. And I just love you. And I wanted to just take a few minutes before we got into the episode recap this week to talk about your website. I was visiting it the other day, and it's just really well done for beauty advice and stuff like that. And I kind of wanted to talk to you guys about how that started.
Well, actually, it was my idea, and I wrangled my mother. This is Dina. My mother, my sister, and my niece, because we all represent different age groups, to try beauty products. And originally, I was just going to have them try the beauty products and give me their opinion and write the reviews. And then I convinced them to be a part of it. So we all try beauty products that relate to our age range. And sometimes we try the same products and say, well, it would be for somebody 25 to 35, but maybe not for somebody in their 70s. And we have a lot of fun together writing the reviews. And we have a lot of inside scoops for beauty deals and discounts and secret codes that we have on there that we change regularly. And then we wanted to talk about celebrity beauty and fashion, because I'm obsessed with celebrities. So I had to try to tie it in somehow. So I wrangled my friend since, actually, I guess the third grade, Lisa.
That's where I come in.
To talk to me about celebrity beauty and fashion. And we've kind of just progressed to where we just mostly gossip and have kind of strayed away from the beauty part, but we're still a part of the Beauty Bros website. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, and what's the response been like so far?
It's really been great. We've been up since, I guess, in August, and then the Celebrity Side Dish has been a part of that since February. So we're really new. We're young. A lot of our customers come from Twitter. Twitter is such a phenomenon and such a way to reach out to people all over the country. So it's really made a difference in our market.
That's terrific. You know, I have found so many media contacts via Twitter myself. So it's nice how these things can coexist with one another. They can complement one another. And, you know, you guys have an absolute blast on there talking about all the shows, you know, not just The Bachelorette, which we're going to be discussing here shortly, but So You Think You Can Dance and America's Got Talent and what have you. And I just wanted to give you guys a shout out because I know we have a lot of female listeners out there that may not be aware of, you know, what you guys have outside this program here. So the website, once again, for those of you that want to visit, if you're curious, and I hope you are, it is www.beauty, and not booty, like I said last weekend, by mistake, it's www.beautybrods.com, and I'm a guy, and I got a big kick out of it, so definitely hit these ladies up after the show if you can. And do you guys have a comment section where people can kind of leave their thoughts and what have you?
Yes, after our product reviews, you can comment if you've used a product, maybe have a different opinion or anything that you want to include. So it's kind of a good forum for people to chat and share their beauty advice and their experience with different products. And I would say there is a bootybrods.com, but it would be totally different type of
products.
Not something we can discuss on this hopefully family-friendly show. So anyway, but definitely pay them a visit and tell them the Marquee Man. That sounds so silly. Anyway, just tell them Jeffrey sent you, and you know, see what kind of response we get. Anyway, let's get into episode 9 of The Bachelorette. Very dramatic episode, very sexy episode, I must say, as well. And have either of you guys been to Hawaii?
I haven't.
I haven't either. I've always wanted to go, and now I want to go even more.
It's beautiful.
It was just absolutely gorgeous. I mean, the scenery and the way this was shot and everything, it was just absolutely amazing. And I see a lot of Hawaii on a regular basis via the TV show Lost. I don't know if you guys are into Lost or whatever, but when Reed and Jilly were flying to that helicopter, I kept getting these flashbacks from a couple of seasons ago where the island disappeared. And it's like, where's the island? Where's the island, Joe?
Yeah, they've got a hard gig on Lost, don't they?
Oh, they definitely do. And, well, you know, behind the scenes, it's really tough. The crews that work on these shows, I mean, you guys do not know how much time and effort goes into putting on a show that looks as simple, cut and dried as The Bachelorette. I mean, we know how complicated Lost can be, but I guarantee you there's a lot of hardworking people on shows like The Bachelorette and Survivor and what have you. So I definitely want to tip my cap off to them right now before we get headlong into this thing. But I gotta tell you guys, those of you out there listening, these girls, they loved to kid me around. They just loved to kid me around. Not 1 minute into the show, I'm kind of doing some last minute email checking and all that, you know, show business and what have you, and the girls say, "You're biting your hand after you saw Jillian in that bikini, didn't you, Jeffrey?" You know? So, and I gotta say, you know, like Billy Joel, you know, I'll just say, you may be right. So anyway.
So when you saw her in that bikini, did you, well, how would you rate her 1 to 10?
10? I'm not gonna lie, and I will let you guys in on a secret. When she was drawing that little heart and putting a J in there, I was kind of hoping maybe another J by the plus sign, you know. But question mark, all right, I'll get over it. But anyway, getting seriously here, you know, usually at the point of a reality show such as this, you know, when we're like 2 weeks away from a season finale, there's still at least one guy or girl that you're not completely sold on. And do you guys agree with me that we have 3 absolutely fabulous, down-to-earth, wonderful guys here? I mean, there's no villain in this bunch as far as I can see.
I totally agree. I was just sitting there thinking, how in the world is she going to decide who to send home? I mean, all 3 of them did great. I don't know how she did it.
I agree. You know, Lisa and I, Lisa chose Kipton from the very first episode, and I chose Ed. But now I'm just like, I'm not really a big Kipton fan, only because he just doesn't do it for me. You know how you feel like you have a chemistry when you see someone or you don't, and Kipton just doesn't do it for me. But the Ed and Reed thing, I don't know how I would decide. I really don't. I'm just hoping that she has some inside information that we don't have that helps her out, because I really feel for her every week.
Well, I'm going to talk more about Jillian's thoughts this week. Of course, last week I mentioned that she had a blog on people.com, and we'll talk about that in the context of this conversation when we get around to the appropriate moment. But the first date, we had Kipton and Jillian. They were in this bizarre setup with the ropes, and you know, last week, you know, Chris didn't make it to Spain, and I saw this gigantic setup, and I'm thinking, my God, you know, this is like an episode of Survivor, and Jeff Probst is going to come in and guest host this week, you know? And he's just going to be going, you know, want to know what you're playing for? The fantasy suite. Yeah, that's what you're going to be playing for, Kipton, you know. So anyway, but just your thoughts on their date, which I thought was just a little bit more, it just really wasn't as romantic as the other 2 dates that we'll talk about here in a few. But what's your thoughts about Kipton? And we got to talk about the Don Johnson beard look, Miami Vice and all that. Does that kind of, do girls like the unshaven look? Shoot me straight on this.
I like the look of scruff. It doesn't always feel nice, you know, when you're close to a guy who has that. It can give you a rash. But I love the look, and I thought it helped Kipton maybe not look so boyish, because I think Kipton is, I don't know, he just doesn't look real rugged to me. So what did you think, Lisa? Did you like it?
Yeah, I thought he looked good.
Lisa loves Kipton.
And he's got this cute little wink that I noticed this week, you know, and I just, you know, just that does something to girls and vice versa. You know, you're living for that wink kind of moment. So I'm just wondering if that's one of the weapons in his arsenal of love, you know. I don't know. You know, we'll just have to ask Jillie about that if we ever get the chance to talk to her. But,
I thought the whole date was just, that would be like my nightmare date, because I'm afraid of heights. I don't really like to be outside sweating and struggling in front of somebody that I'm trying to make an impression of. To me, it was just a nightmare. But I think Jillian is a very adventurous girl, so she was probably in her element there.
She certainly was. You know, I was looking at the show. I actually had a chance to watch or rewatch some of the episode before we talked here, and she just got the greatest laugh. You know, she was really getting off on this. And, you know, I guess there's something to be said about the guy willing to go and make an idiot of himself on something like this, you know, something challenging. Oh, hell, I definitely find it challenging myself because, you know, I don't even like to climb fences, you know, in the backyard and stuff like that. I mean, you know, it's like, oh, man, I might get I might need a tetanus shot or something, you know. But anyway, just, you know, hats off to him for being game and everything. And then we went to the date, and what were your thoughts on the date, which to me was probably the weakest of the three?
Well, later on after the ropes course, which I think it was important, it was a turning point for Jillian to see Kipton show his vulnerability and not get angry when he couldn't, you know, do the thing just right, as whereas maybe Jake would have gotten upset if he fell off the tightrope or whatever. And I think that made a difference to her. And I think she showed her vulnerability and her girly side, and she showed that she needed him. And I think for guys, that's really important. Even if you're faking it, Lisa, don't you agree? You have to act like you can't do something. Like, I can't open this jar occasionally or something.
Yeah, I agree. But you always got to be throwing Jake into it.
I know. You look so Jake. Well, he was very intense. And Kipton, I thought he was too. And I think Jillian saw he wasn't perfect, which she seems to be obsessed with. And what did they do? I think they had like chocolate-covered strawberries later.
Right.
After the ropes. I'm allergic to strawberries, but other than that.
No. Oh, man, I can't imagine that. I love strawberries. I got to have my strawberries with my milk every once in a while. That sounds so 72 years old, but it's true. But, that was pretty much the highlight of the date for me. It seemed like there was really some buzz going on, but was it enough? And I guess, you know, when they stepped into the suite of fantasy, maybe it was.
I don't think there's ever been a problem with physical chemistry with Jillian and Kipton. I think it's just Jillian still feels like he's too good for her, you know, which to me is just unhealthy. I just don't. A guy should make you feel like you're the most important thing in the world, not less than. Not that I'm saying it's Kipton's fault. I don't know if he does anything to make her feel that way or if it's her own insecurities.
I think it was his family.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we talked about that a few weeks ago. I think she has nothing to be ashamed of or any kind of inferiority, you know. I think she's on a level playing field with everybody that she's met because she's such a friendly girl. She's such a welcoming, warm person, you know. And it's like, you know, if she's not good enough for them, I mean, I'm telling you, I can't see that, and the game would be over right then and there for me. But one thing I did find interesting is that Kipton has never been the dumpy. You know, he's always been the person that ended the relationship, and that's relationships in his life, I should say. And I just, you know, we all know what happened. Everybody listening here has watched the show, evidently, and they know that Kipton got one of the final two slots. And to me, it just baffles me because, you know, I would be very scared, you know, if I were in Jillian's shoes to take a chance on somebody like this. And what do you guys think about that?
I guess I kind of have to agree with you on that. I think it's going to be sad when Kipton is dumped for the first time and it's going to be on TV.
Oh,
so we have a prediction this early in the show, huh? But we'll come back to that a little bit later on. I'm sure we all have our thoughts and our musings and whatever. But let's just go ahead and go directly into my favorite date. Again, Reed, wonderful guy, super guy, and everything about this date clicked for me from the helicopter ride to the time in the tub, yeah, with the bubbles and all that, you know. Girls, I mean, Reed just really, I mean, week by week, he continues to, you know, get more appealing. I'm sure this guy has got his own fan club with the huggable, kissable posters in the works right now, you know. Let's talk about that. I mean, I just thought it was a super date, and the chemistry was there and all that, and it was just so romantic. And let me turn it over to you for your thoughts on the date between Jillian and Reed.
Reed's vulnerability is very appealing, his quirkiness. At the beginning, I thought, well, you know, that can get on your nerves when you're in a relationship if somebody's like that, but Reed has really started to grow on me, and I felt myself just falling for him. The fact that he got on the helicopter when you could tell he was like, I've never been on a helicopter before. I mean, that showed a little growth to me, because there's probably a time if he's afraid of fondue like he was in a previous episode, he may not get on that helicopter, but he did. And I was just really shocked when, actually, when Jillian chose Kipton, I kind of saw the writing on the wall, and I thought, oh my gosh, it's going to be Reed. And I don't know what she saw that we didn't see, unless vulnerability can show weakness, and she really wants somebody to take charge right now, I think.
But it seems to me that vulnerability would be a beautiful thing because, you know, we guys, you know, we have this macho facades and stuff like that. You know, I don't. You know, I've always been really guilty and proudly guilty, I should say, of wearing my heart on my sleeve. And I think that's an appealing thing to women. But that said, I wonder if perhaps Reed, even though he didn't say he loved her until he got into the limo, I'm just wondering if he just wasn't open enough.
That's what it sounds like to me, but I mean, I saw the same thing that Jillian did, and you know, to me it was obvious how he felt about her, and I just don't understand. I don't understand why she didn't choose Reed.
I think she was fishing for him to say it. Just tell me, say something like, I love you, or I'm falling in love with you. I want you to choose me. I want you to keep me. And the little joke about the helicopter pilot being an ordained minister.
Right.
I think he was considering it. I could see in his eyes, should I do this? Should I go for it? I think Jillian just wanted him to say, choose me. You know, I want this to work. And he just couldn't seem to do it.
I see where you're coming from. I mean, I think he said something to the effect in the helicopter. Actually, no, it wasn't in the helicopter. It was on the beach later on when he said, oh, I would have gotten married today if you'd given me a little kick in the ass, you know.
Exactly. I think he meant that.
And, you know, we're going to talk more about that. You guys had an interesting thought about the rose ceremony where they said their goodbyes, and my gosh, you know, talk about pain, but let's not go there just yet. Let's talk about something more pleasant. Ed, and by the way, Ed, if you're listening, I personally want to thank you, man, for inspiring Jilly to put on those cut-off blue jean shorts. Well, I don't think they were real cut-off jeans. You know, they had kind of a little designer feel to them, but they still look great. And, you know, a fantasy of mine is just a, you know, beautiful woman, wine, we're on a yacht or something like that. Somebody else is doing the driving, and it was perfect. I just love that.
Jillian has great legs. I gotta give her that.
Yes, she does.
That's her best feature, I think.
Exactly. I think Ed liked his legs, too.
Apparently.
And let me tell you about legs. You know, this is something that just, you know, just made me, like, swoon. You know, when Jillian was talking about Ed before they met, you know, and that little cutaway shot of her talking and everything, and, you know, she's going, I could not wait to wrap my legs around him. And it's like, guys live for those kind of words. We don't think you girls say things like that. We don't think you think things like that. But when you say them, oh, geez, you know, I'll put it that way.
Jillian will pretty much wrap her legs around anything now.
Even me? I don't want to think about it. We'll have to stop tape anyway. But enough about that. Ed, let me tell you guys, I think he really started to loosen up big time. I don't think he's a member of the mob anymore. You know, this is good, you know. And I'm thinking, you know, he might just be back in the high life at this point of the show. That was my thoughts when we were getting to this point of this week's episode. So I'm going, you know, that a boy Ed, you know, that a boy Ed, you know. And oh my gosh, could the parents have not been any cuter? I thought this family, Ed's family, was probably the most appealing family we've had in the cycle of shows since Reed's family.
I didn't really think there was a lot of substance there to his mother, but now the father, you know, it was a little more obvious how his father felt about him, but I really didn't get that much from his mom.
Interesting. Well, you know, she didn't have a lot of camera time because, you know, girls, they pick the most interesting people to focus on, you know, to do the segments on, and my God, Ed's dad was just, oh, talk about a pussycat. I mean, he actually got emotionally moved talking about his son. And I'll tell you another thing that really touched me. Ed's father seemed really concerned for Ed's well-being. And I'm wondering if maybe Ed had that mentality, you know, when he left the show a few weeks ago. He's probably thinking, you know, well, what's my mom and dad going to think about this? You know, maybe I do need to focus on my career. Maybe I'm not here for the right reasons. And of course, you know, like, you know, every sensible red-blooded American guy that wants a girl this good, you think twice and you go running back, you know. So I thought the dynamic between Ed and his father was just one of the best parts of the show for me.
I teared up a little bit, I'll have to say, because at first I thought he was upset. You know, when the mother and Jillian left the room, he said, what's going on here? What are you doing? And I thought, uh-oh. And Ed, he saw that Ed really did care about Jillian, and I think it really touched him. I totally pictured Ed's family different, like big city Chicago, very
right.
sophisticated, maybe more like Kip's family. And when I saw him, they were just like, just good old folk, you know, just quiet, rational, reasonable, practical, I guess is the word I'm looking for. And I think that has rubbed off on Ed, or should we say Richie? And it just shocked me. And I think that is where Ed's decision making comes from. I think he thinks my parents are watching me on television. I've got to be conservative and be sensible and
responsible.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think the fact that Ed flew his parents out there really, really won some points over, you know, on Jillian.
Absolutely.
I thought that was fantastic.
Because family is so important, because you're not just marrying a guy, you're not just marrying a girl, you're marrying their families, you know?
Amen.
And it's very, very, very important to have that chemistry. And some of my fondest memories in the girls that I've dated, you know, the good ones, are the families that I've met, you know? And it's just, I love to talk, as you guys know, you know, duh. And it's just interesting, it's wonderful to have that dynamic where you're comfortable and you're not intimidated. And you know what? I wouldn't expect anything less from a family from Chicago, Illinois. I am so jonesing. You know, we talked about Hawaii earlier. I've just got to get to Chicago next year. I'm making plans, fingers crossed it's going to happen. And just the most down-to-earth people, not taking anything away from my hometown of Huntsville, Alabama, of course, but just the most down-to-earth people come from that town.
I was really impressed. I could see myself being in that family and not feeling pressured or stressed, and I think that's good for Jillian, too, because she is a little insecure, I guess.
I would like for the family to take some music lessons and stuff like that. You know, it was kind of appealing having, you know, Kipton, you know, the good old drumstick handling Kipton, you know. But other than that, you know, Ed's mom and dad were just absolutely fantastic. But boy, we got to get to the fantasy suite part of the date. I can't believe ABC aired this before the 8 o'clock hour. Boy,
It was hot for a while.
And I got to tell you, Ed pretty much mirrored my feelings. I think I would have been a little bit more looser and more relaxed and everything, you know. But his response when she came out in that little white whatever it was just like, oh, my stars. Oh, my God. And I think I tweeted to you guys, you know, I was on Twitter at the time kind of answering some tweets when I could between commercials and stuff like that. And it's like, you know, my response was like, oil, chili, help, Calconite. I was just absolutely going nuts, you know. And I just love, you know, being in TV and everything. I love these little cutaway shots, you know. You get the cutting of the lights out from an angle of the building, mm-hmm. you know. And then you get the waves rolling on the beach. And then the moon and everything. And all of a sudden, lights on. Uh-oh. Oh, my God. And it was like, I was so hoping. Well, actually, I wasn't rooting for this to happen to anybody except Wes. But I tell you, it was just, I felt so sad for him, you know. I mean, and it just, you know, God, you know, with all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes and stuff like that, you know, I would have been nervous too, but just Ed was evidently quite nervous. And I really felt bad for him. But do you think, well, evidently it played off in his favor in the end.
Yeah, I wouldn't hold that against Ed at all, because if you think, okay, let's think about the reality of reality television.
Right.
They were shooting that scene on the boat, swimming, and think how long it takes to set up shots and
exactly.
lighting and all that. And by the time they get to, I mean, who knows, it might have been 3 o'clock in the morning by the time they were shooting that bedroom scene. Then they're like, well, we got to do this angle, okay, move over here. And I mean, it's so technical, it's like making a movie. And
right.
the fact that neither one of them were in the mood, they, you know, Jillian even said in something I saw, I just wanted to sleep, he just wanted to sleep. Does that mean we're not don't have chemistry, or does it mean we were just tired and we wanted to sleep? But I feel like it was just the pressure of the situation and the fact that they were exhausted. And I worry about how they made Ed come across. I think that was, you know, I worry about him being mortified that everybody in the country saw that. But in the end, I think he came out a winner on that. I really could see his point of view.
And you know what? I'm going to cut him a break on the now infamous green gym shorts. We got to talk about that. And let me tell you my feelings about how I think the green shorts came to be on national TV. Because, you know, if you remember, he had on these really cool brownish kind of cargo shorts that were perfectly fine, and maybe in the midst of fooling around with Jillian, you know, everything got wet in the water and stuff like that. And he probably brought these deals with him, you know, these green shorts, thinking, you know, hey, you know, these are the things I use to wash my car with, you know, I wear them when I'm washing my car, I'll just put them in the suitcase and everything, and when we're between shoots and between dates and, you know, when I'm kind of hanging out at the hotel, I'll wear these things and, you know, I won't have to worry about them, but I can just see the producer going, you know, Ed, we got to move, you know, we got to get the parents and all that, and just there was probably nothing he could do. He probably thought, well, I'm going to look like a complete dork on national television. But
that's an interesting theory. I hadn't thought of that. I bet that's his hanging around the hotel room in waiting shorts, and he was probably mortified that he had to bring them out.
Yeah.
The last time I saw shorts like that, Lisa, I think we were in junior high and we were in PE class.
Well, let me tell y'all something.
I thought he wore them intentionally. I thought he made some kind of comment about them.
Well, you know, at the end of the show, as the credits were rolling, he said, I brought out my tidy greenies for you or something. But yeah. I bet you're right. I bet he really didn't intend for those to be shown on air.
They should have been a little longer.
But I don't know where you buy those at Hooters. Don't the Hooters girls wear
those? No, they're orange.
Oh, that's right.
You know what? I think you're right. No. But here's what kills me, you know. You know, that does not explain the suit that Jillian refers to as the ice cream salesman suit that he wore to the rose ceremony.
Oh, the blue suit. Yeah,
the blue
I wasn't
suit.
Digging the blue suit. Mm-mm.
Now, that'd be
I'm
great.
Not sure
if we,
Ed, since, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, it'd be great if we were remaking Miami Vice or doing Miami Vice 2, the movie or something, but just, God.
True.
And I'll tell you, if you want to have fun, those of you that DVR the show and you keep it and all that, you know, go back and replay where Ed is walking up and watch the expression on Reed's face. I mean, he did this double take that was something out of a Friends episode. It was just, I was hurling, laughing at that before we were talking here. And,
well, flashing back to Ed's father, I'm afraid that Ed maybe gets his fashion sense from Ed's father. So maybe Jillian can work on that since she seems to have a good sense of style.
I would think so. You know, we'll keep our fingers crossed and see what happens in the weeks ahead. But right now, girls, I want to talk about the videos. You know, this is the first time I've watched the show in a long, long time, either The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. And they have, you know, at this point of the show, everybody makes these little, you know, heartfelt videos and stuff like that. If it were you, if you were in Jillian's shoes, who made the best impression on you as far as the video messages?
Ed said, "I love you."
Yes.
And he was the only one that actually said, "I love you."
Kipton said, "Let's do it."
Well, Reed stretched his arms out real wide to show how much he loved her.
Yeah, he said, I'm your honey bear. Yeah. That was sweet. I think possibly, we'll never know for sure, that Jillian would have chosen Kipton and Reed if Ed hadn't said, "I love you," because it really took her aback. She like gasped and it looked like she was thinking, oh no, now I have to rethink this, my decision. That's my impression, Jeffrey. Did you notice that look on her face?
I certainly did. And I don't think it was a staged shot or a cutaway shot. You know, I'm not sure exactly how they filmed this. I think they had a camera out of, you know, the view of the TV set in the hotel room or the cabanza or whatever the hell you call them in Hawaii. Evidently they had a camera off to the side, and I don't think she was faking that for the cameras. I think she was really taken aback by that, because it takes a lot for a guy to say, "I love you," especially at a point like this when you're just like, you know, I don't want to say that, you know, everybody's duking it out or whatever. I think that these guys all have genuine feelings for her, and you're on national television, by God. I mean, it's just, it's got to be a scary thing. And for him to man up and say something like that, I just found it moving, and I thought that's probably what pushed Reed out of the picture. And let's just go ahead and talk about, bless his heart, Reed. He handled this with such class, in my opinion. And I know the producers forced these guys and these girls to sit in the back of these limos, you know, for hours. You know, they're looking for that right sound bite, you know, something that's going to make America cry with them, you know. And sometimes in these instances, it doesn't take long. You know, I remember people like Trista from the first season and Brooke from the second season. I mean, they were in tears before the tape heads and the cord deck initiated, you know. But Reed, man, he didn't even flinch, and I loved it. But I'll tell you what, I bet he cried his eyes out in the hotel room afterwards. I really do.
Yeah, I think he really did handle it with class. He didn't get angry. He didn't beg her to tell him why. He actually took the blame for it, didn't he, Lisa? He said, "This is really all my fault. I should have stepped up sooner. I should have said something
sooner." Yeah, said how I felt.
He's a classy guy. We're really sad.
I mean, I am too, and I'm going to open up my heart here and just tell you a Cliff Notes version of a similar thing that happened to me about 2 years ago. I had met this girl via eHarmony. My friends bought me an eHarmony membership for my birthday back in 07, I think it was, and I met this wonderful girl who was a school teacher in Florida, and we just got really, really tight over the phone, and she had family up in Tennessee, which I'm, you know, very close to, and we spent the first part of Thanksgiving week together, and the chemistry that was on the phone just exploded in person. It was lovely, and then we met on her turf. Things were even better, and there was this night when we were exchanging gifts to one another, and she just started welling up with tears, and she just said, you know, Jeffrey, I just don't see that there's a future for us. You know, you're just a wonderful guy, and you're a sweetheart, and I love you, but I just don't see a future for us. I think we're at different points in our lives, you know, and it's almost identical to what Jillian said about Reed, you know, and oh my God, you could have hit me in the stomach with a tire iron, and I don't think I would have felt it. I mean, that's how numb I was. And what made it even worse, it was the day before Valentine's Day.
Oh no. Oh. Usually the guys break up the day before Valentine's Day, so they don't have to get a gift. Which side were you on, Jeffrey? Were you the I'm ready to commit side, or were you the holding back afraid side in that relationship?
I was ready to commit. You know, we were talking about visiting each other's hometowns, and, you know, she was a school teacher and wanting to see what the educational system was over here. And we were just, but there was just something, I just felt that maybe she had second thoughts or was afraid or something, you know, and I'm not going to embarrass her by saying her name or anything like that. And I hope I'm not embarrassing her by talking about this on the World Wide Web, but I just related to Reed's story so much. But I will say this, I don't think Reed was emotional enough. I think he just really should have went for it, because you only meet people like Jillian Harris once in a lifetime, and I don't know Jillian personally, and I don't think I would be wasting my time talking about her when I have so many other things I could be doing. But I just feel this incredible affection for her, and I know I'm not the only guy or girl that feels this way. Despite some things that she's done, you know, I really think, to be honest, I think she made the wrong choice. I think she sent the guy that she should be marrying home. I really do. I really do.
Well, do you think that isn't there somebody that's going to come back, Jeffrey? Aren't they kind of insinuating that in the future episode?
You know, I hope it's not Jake, because, you know, we talked about Jake being the next Bachelor, I think it was last week. And let me tell you something right now. My pick is for Reed. I think Reed, I mean, I could probably get freelance security work working for this guy. I mean, he just absolutely, I mean, he has won the hearts of America. I mean, American women, or probably women around the world that see the show, are just absolutely going, you know, why, Jillian, why, you know?
I think you're right.
I mean, it's just amazing. And Jake is just too, you know, Jake will probably be the next Bachelor because he's just got that cover boy look going on and everything like that. And Reed's kind of more like an everyman, an average guy, good looking guy. But just, I would just absolutely be thrilled if ABC picked him to be the next Bachelor. So I'm rooting for him, but man, I know he's got to be hurting. But as far as your question, let's go ahead, ladies first here. What's your thoughts on these final two guys, and who do you want to see in the big to do in 2 weeks? Putting you on the spot here, but go ahead.
Well, because Lisa and I are competing on this, we're not sure what our prize is, but we always have competitions on these reality shows. She's for Kipton, I'm for Ed. I don't know what her sentimental pool is. We'll have to find out, but I'm Ed all the way. Kipton just doesn't do it for me.
Well, it's not about you, Jillian.
Oh, that's true. Who do I think Jillian's going to be? Yeah. I thought everything was about me.
Wasn't it Reed's dad who told him to just go for it?
Yeah.
And see, he didn't follow his advice. I swear, I think if he had followed his dad's advice, he would be with Jillian right now.
What we hope happens is they're standing there, and Reed comes running up and gets down on his knees and proposes.
Right when she says Kipton. That way I will be the winner, but it will be Reed that she...
Okay.
Okay. Right.
It could go either way. I mean, who's to say that Jake is not going to come back the second time, you know? Uh-huh. Evidently, you know, he's a pilot and can find his way to Hawaii, you know? You know, I don't rule him out, but I don't think he is. But I think it's one of the – I think maybe it's the guy that got rejected that's going to try and just go on his knees and just say, you know, I really do. And I tell you, you know what? I think it's going to be Ed. I think Ed is going to make one last ditch attempt to win her heart, because I think he's really – he's had problems opening up too, you know, last week. You know, you guys – we talked about he wasn't revealing a lot of himself. He was being very, very vague. And this week, he wasn't vague at all. I mean, all that openness that she was looking for evidently came out. And, of course, you know, the problem in the bedroom, which, you know, we'll never know about. I don't want to know about it, you know. But I just felt that all that worked in his favor. But still, you know, there's some, you know, they teased it in the promo. Something comes out about one of these guys, you know, and it's going to be very interesting to see what that something is. But my pick, well, you know, my pick is gone now, Reed, unless he makes a dramatic return. But I think, I really hate to say this, but I think it's going to be Kipton. I hope I'm wrong. I would love to see Ed do this, and it's not going to surprise me at all if Ed tries to make one last ditch attempt. And that could be, you know, you see Jillian flustered with Chris in the lobby of the shoot or something, you know, and she's just going, I don't know what to think. I don't know what to do. And we've had so many surprises this season, girls. I mean, you know, who thought that Jake was going to come back? Who thought that Ed was going to come back, you know, so committed to his career. There's a possibility Reed may come back. And boy, I bet ABC is just absolutely loving me talking about this right now, because, you know, we're building up to one hell of a season finale, probably one of the best in the history of this show. Lisa, you're picking Kipton, and Dina, you're picking Ed, right?
Well, actually, I think that she's going. I think she's going home single, and that's good news for
that's
you,
right.
Jeffrey. I've said it every week.
Yes. Anyway, no. Marv Albert. Yes. Anyway. No.
And the girl in Florida, it's her loss.
Well, thank you very kindly. I appreciate that. But just I would just love to have coffee with Jillian. I'm not looking for anything. You know, I'm a sensible guy. I know real reality. You know, what we're watching here is what I like to call pseudo-reality, or, you know, reality in the terms of a television producer's shows, you know, a television show producer's mind. Like I said, it's like Love at 78 RPM, and I think it just takes a hell of a lot more time than 2 months to really fall in love with somebody.
I think maybe if they can get an engagement, the producers will be happy, and then they don't have to follow through. They can get to know each other. So I think Jason and Molly are still together, and we have Trista, but other than that, I don't think there's been many success stories.
Those are pretty much it. But boy, the weeks ahead, talk about an interesting next three shows that we have coming up here. Of course, next Monday night, July 20th, we've got The Men Tell All, which Chris has alluded to in his blog, just saying it's one of the best ever. By the way, I don't know if you guys have seen the promo yet. Of course, I worked for the ABC affiliate here in town, and last night I saw the premiere of the latest promo, and one of the bachelors, what is it about Jillian that inspires guys to take their shirts off?
You know, I think it's the dude that jumped in the pool naked.
I do believe you're
Ryan.
Right.
I think that's who it was. So, you know, maybe he thinks that he can convince her.
No.
He's the one.
I think in the Men Tell All segment is when they announce The Bachelor. I'm pretty sure if it's one of the cast members, you know, if it's somebody new that we don't know, they don't. But I'm pretty sure they announce Jillian at the Bachelorette's Tell All or the Females Tell All. So that'll be exciting to you.
Yeah, cool. It will. And then we got a week from this Monday, July 27th, the final episode, the big season finale. And then the night after that, it's going to be the traditional after the final rose ceremony, which, by the way, for everybody out there listening, that's going to be at a special time. It's going to be at 10 Eastern, 9 Central, so make a note about that. Monday the 27th, season finale, Tuesday, July 28th, after the final rose at 10 Eastern, 9 Central. I sound like I'm auditioning for a job at ABC or something like that, but anyway, enough about that. But anyway, I definitely wanted to point out one more thing before we parted company here. I definitely wanted to talk about a comment that Jilly made on her blog at people.com, which really brings this whole thing full circle. And she says, and I'm quoting here, "I can now say with 100% conviction that it is possible to fall for more than one person when you are presented with individuals of this caliber." girls.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know she said that.
Yep.
I heard her say it, and I totally agree. I mean,
we certainly have.
Yeah.
I just want to say, as we're wrapping things up here, you can find links to not only Jillian's blog, but also Chris Harrison's blog, the lovely Trista Suter from Sutter. I think I'm sorry I'm screwing up your name, Trista. I need a pronunciation guide. And also Entertainment Weekly's Pop Watch blog on the Bachelor app. All these links are in our show notes, or my show notes, I should say, at www.thedvdmarquee.com. And by the way, guys, I have given you a shout out as well. I didn't forget about you. I've got your a link to your site at beautybroads.com. So I think everybody owes me money after this week. So anyway, but
it's
just
in the mail.
I appreciate that, Jeffrey.
So anyway. Yeah.
Checks in the mail.
Yep. Oh, I need it. I need it anyway. I have a mortgage. But anyway, it's been an absolute pleasure as usual, guys. And I look forward to talking with you again at the same time, same station next week.
Bye, Jeffrey.
Bye, Jeffrey.
Girls, have a good week. 3, 2, 1. That was the only time I had to say 3, 2, 1. I was doing so damn good. I was absolutely, I swear, the pause is.
Jillian doesn't like perfect people. Remember that.
Okay, well, f*** it then. Anyway. Anyway, for the culture of pop and, oh God, I was doing so good. For the culture of pop and the DVD Marquee at www.thedvdmarquee.com. Have I said that enough? I'm Jeffrey Rosato, and for my dear friends Dina and Lisa, until we meet again, amigos, and as usual, Chili, call me sweetie.
Come with me while the moon is on the sea.
The moon is on the sea.
The night is young, and so are we.
So are we.
Dreams come true in blue. And mine could all come true this magic night.